Eli Roebuck was 9 years old. Mr. Krantz shows up at his house. Eli watches as his mom leaves with Mr. Krantz. Mr. Krantz is no ordinary man, though. He's a Sasquatch.
I was really attracted to some of the Spokane and Colville Indian tribal legends concerning Sasquatch, and they really saw him as more of a man than an animal. And they saw him as a fallen figure. As you get to know him in the novel, he is much more like a man than he is an animal. And in some ways, you know, there are some characters in the novel who are maybe more monstrous than he is, even just as people.
Spokane-based writer Sharma Shields. Her new novel is called The Sasquatch Hunter's Almanac, and the book tells the story of Eli Roebuck and Mr. Krantz, the Sasquatch. It also explores the idea of monsters. Shields told Jeannie Yandel what monsters represent for her.
They're almost illustrations of our deepest fears. They're kind of manifested in this creaturely form that is instantly attainable. And I am really attracted to talking about vulnerabilities and fears in my writing. So for me, they're kind of really beautiful as metaphors. Maybe that's why I loved them as a child. I was always kind of a dark kid. I really liked the unhappy endings and some of the Greek myths that I read, and I trusted those unhappy endings more than I trusted Disney fairy tale endings. But for some reason, those dark endings spoke a higher truth to me as a child, and they do now to me, too.
What's the higher truth they speak to you?
Well, just that the world can be a pretty scary place and that we are vulnerable as people and that we kind of have to learn, this is going to sound corny, but that we kind of have to learn to love one another despite our own fallibilities and despite the fallibilities of other people.
The book follows Eli Roebuck. We first meet him when he's 9 years old and Mr. Krantz, the Sasquatch, shows up in his living room. But Eli grows up and he tries to track down Mr. Krantz. You have several other characters in the book who have their own encounters with monsters, with monstrosities, I guess. I'm thinking specifically of Gladys, Eli's first wife. She starts seeing monsters. At one point, she sees herself as a monster.
Mm-hmm.
That seemed like a way to deal with some pretty terrifying adult issues. She goes through a miscarriage. Mm-hmm. She has a child who she cares very little for. She seems to be going through some pretty intense postpartum depression. Do you have kids?
I do. I have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old. And I was definitely taking from my own experience with postpartum depression, which I had terribly after the birth of my second child, my daughter. I think there's a passage in the book about the ever mutating fear of motherhood. You know, you have one fear at a certain age and then it morphs into a different sort of fear as the child grows up. And there was a point when I was dealing with the depression where I was just really extremely paranoid. And I actually think that Gladys loves her daughter very much in the book, but she suffers from some extreme mental illness, and she's incapable of finding a way to love without that really gripping fear. And you can see that when she's with the newborn baby. She's afraid to even hold the baby because she's worried she's going to do it incorrectly. And those were all feelings, you know, I had as a new mom. I mean, with my son, I had never even changed a diaper before when I had a baby. So I remember the nurse bringing him into the room and just setting him down on my belly and telling me, now just go to sleep with him lying against you, skin to skin. And she left the room and I just had these bulging eyes and was staring at the ceiling thinking, what have I gotten myself into? I have no idea how to do this at all. And that experience is definitely in the book, as Gladys's experience too.
So what did it do for you to be able to explore those experiences you had?
I think it's really interesting how much of my personal life and my emotions are on the page. And I've wondered sometimes if that's why I love magic realism, or, you know, the surreal, or whatever you want to call it. But I wonder if it gives me a little bit of a buffer so I can explore those emotions in almost a safe environment on the page. So I don't know yet. I'm not sure if I'm trying to, if it's my own type of therapy. to write about it, art therapy, I guess, but or if it's it's just I don't sometimes know what to do with those emotions in real life. They sometimes feel too powerful for me to just sit with and just feel in a room. That just sounds so uncomfortable to me. But if I can write them down, then that's I feel like they have a direction and I enjoy it a lot more.
I'm talking with Sharma Shields. She's a Spokane-based author. Her latest book is called The Sasquatch Hunter's Almanac. We've been talking a lot about monsters. What benefit do you think monsters provide? What do they do for adults?
You know, it's funny. I remember listening to a radio program a couple of years ago, and they were talking about how in times of distress and times of war or of economic crisis, monster stories tend to rise up to the surface again. And I think it is kind of what I suggested earlier. It's some sort of manifestation of our fears coming back. So to some degree, while I think that's very interesting, I also think that monster stories have always fascinated us and been interesting to us because they're this great double-edged sword of intrigue and mystery and excitement and also danger and fear and vulnerability. And those are some of my favorite themes to explore while writing fiction. So for me, it's just a really fun way to explore a fictional world.
You've mentioned vulnerability a few times, mm-hmm. which makes me think of my own daughter. I imagine when you think about vulnerability, you might think about your own kids.
Yeah.
How do you talk to your kids about monsters, about vulnerability, about all of these scary things?
It's funny. I just had a piece in the New York Times about this, how for a little while there, I was trying to hide my MS diagnosis from the children. And I have to take a daily shot of a drug called Copaxone. And so my husband would distract the children, and then I would go into the bedroom and take my shot and then come out a couple minutes later, and they would be none the wiser of it. But one day my son just burst into the room, my five-year-old, and he came running up to me saying, "Mommy, Mommy, what are you doing?" right as I injected the shot into my underarm. And he jumped up on the bed with me and watched me do the shot, and I explained to him that Mommy takes this shot every day because she has a disease and it keeps her from getting sicker. And my husband came in and he was holding my daughter and he said, "Isn't your mommy tough?" And Henry was like, "She's so tough." You know, like he was just like, "She takes a shot every day." And he was so impressed. And then that was it. He ran out of the room and Louise, my daughter, went to play with him too. And they just rolled with it. And it was, I realized then how silly it was to try to hide it from them, that in a way I was almost making it scarier by shutting the door and locking them out of the room. It was much better to have them just aware that, yes, there are these dark things in life, but here's the beautiful thing. We have one another and we have a choice to be brave about it and stick together and love one another. And I think that's where I kind of find a lot of beauty in life and goodness and in humankind, because that also exists out there, along with all the insecurities and cruelties and everything else as well.
Sharma Shields, author of a new book called The Sasquatch Hunter's Almanac, she spoke with KUOW's Jeannie Yandel.